Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Kyrie Irving.
Kyrie, quick three right side. Got
Kyrie Irving.
Into Kyrie. Switches to the left hand and lays it in.
Plays here.
At 98.5, the Sports Hub. For the latest podcasts, for the latest sports news, and for Tutcher and Rich, download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app now.
David Back is trying to chop it out of the zone. Oh, Chara drops Evander Kane. Evander Kane goes after Chara, punches him while he's down. That's a mistake. The captain tempted to twist his head off like a bottle cap. Measuring him, going ribs.
Jam it ahead to Brusk. Creates a turnover. Powers through a check. Left to the net. Center fired. Dombrowski scores! Tic-tac-toe! And Jake Dombrowski pots the backhand. Bruins 3. Sharks 1.
My God, do we need that last night. I've been saying it all morning. What a juxtaposition between two teams.
Cleanse the palate from the Toronto mess.
Without a doubt. Would have been a fairly depressing morning if it wasn't for, once again, one of the more entertaining games that we've seen. I love it when they play San Jose. Those two games have been just fun as hell to watch. Haggerty said it yesterday. I agree with him. I mean, imagine if there was a Bruins-San Jose Stanley Cup final. Just two teams that don't care. Get out there. Play with energy. You had the Evander Kane situation last night, and then you flip it over to the second quarter of the Celtics. This is the team who's just given up. So I just...
18 straight points.
Without a doubt. Yeah. And one thing I know, too, before we, of course, bring our friend Billy Jaffe on, Jake DeBrusque, he understands. He knows who he's supposed to be thanking for this entire streak that he's been going on.
Shout out to Tutcher and Rich as well. Don't kill me if I don't do this. And thank you, guys.
You bet your ass, Jake DeBrusque.
TNR bump.
Billy Jaffe, friend, of course, Nesson is here in studio.
You agree, Billy. It's all our doing, correct?
Well, that was the day when he came on. When
why is his mic not on?
I don't know. Why is it?
Do I got to pot it up over here?
I'm on. Says I'm on.
Hey, what if I did this?
I'm obviously not. Hello.
Oh, there we go.
Look at me.
However, my man. Do a little engineering right there.
Listen, it's called slide the button up.
So it's true,
in
Billy.
In certain markets, that's a union job. You now have been able to invoice it.
How about that? Job. Charge the damn company. All right.
The day that you guys tried throwing me under the bus.
Yep.
Yeah,
when DeBrusque was on.
When DeBrusque was on, right.
Yeah.
When I said, he admitted it was in his head, and guys get stuff in their head, right? And he admitted it.
Mm-hmm.
And Fred's like, oh, you said he's no good, what you say to his face. And I'm like, okay.
You're firing him up.
There you go.
You pissed him off.
You guys did it. No, he's such a good kid. He really is.
He's a 20-goal scorer now.
Right, and he's having a bad year. Meaning he was having a down year, and that's why it's hard not to get caught up into the 82-gameness of a season. Football, it's that one game a week, which makes it so intense, so different than every other sport out there. These other sports, hockey, baseball, basketball, they're so long. At times, they're death marches. Their seasons, there's parts of the season that are just excruciating. You know what I mean?
Because
You hit lulls. Now, you come out trade deadline. I always say this. Not the Monday of trade deadline, because that's the actual day, and that's just craziness. It's chaos. The Tuesday after trade deadline, that's it now. Yeah. Now it's turn it on season. This is now, this is hockey right now.
It's the real season.
At its finest right now. And so, now, I mean, look, Jake DeBrus, Danton Heinen, all those guys producing makes a big difference. But the Bruins are right now, they're feeling it. You never want to peak too soon, but right now they're feeling it. And I think they're realistic. They know that they're good. They still don't know how good.
Yeah.
And now, look, they're going to find, you guys mentioned, you know, Tampa tomorrow night. That'll be a nice test as well.
Mm-hmm.
And you just, you go with it, because right now they're starting to get the vibe in the sense of, all right, we're deep now, we're deeper team now. We're not perfect, but we're a lot better. How can we make this team better? That's where coaching comes in.
Okay, so Evander Kane last night and Zdeno Chara, they go at it. Now, as I was saying earlier, watching the game, it was leading up to that. And you even saw when he picked the fight with Evander Kane with Sean Corrali, Chara comes over and
Kane
just like,
take
me.
Kane was bad last night. Like, he was not, he was, he could do nothing.
Single-handedly blew a 3-on-1.
Yeah, exactly. He was trying, because he was, I'm being facetious here, it sure looked like the Sharks, after when they were down a goal or two, all of a sudden just said,
screw
that, that party last night was good. And it's catching. It's the end of their 4-game road trip. That's not, again, not an excuse. The Bruins were on a 5-gamer, and they were bad in the first period in St. Louis the other day, and then they kicked ass the second and third period. I was expecting the Sharks to turn it up a notch, right, the second and third, and they couldn't. And they couldn't. So getting back to our interrupt you, Kane was trying to do anything to get involved because he was
anything.
Not right, anything.
And I also think that he got too fixated on Zdeno Chara. I mean, it was a back and forth, and they kept hitting each other. And finally, there was a situation right before the fight that we just played, where Jack Edwards' call of it and the dude from San Jose's call of it
NBC
are two completely
Sports,
different
California.
Calls.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, and if you saw it,
Randy Hahn.
Yeah. So what happened was the way that fight began, not counting everything I'm talking immediately before it began, Zdeno Chara throws an elbow like backwards to Evander Kane, hits him in the head, and that pissed off Evander Kane to the point where he jumped him from behind.
Right.
Take me through that, and because right now, from what I'm hearing, the league is going to look.
They are. They're
at
looking
that.
At it. They're looking at
was
it.
Was now, it a dirty hit or what?
Okay, I'll get to it in one sec.
Okay.
Let's back up to the Corrali. We'll call it a fight. You know, an incident right there.
Sure.
Big Z comes in and says, and we slowed it down, and that little fracas there, we slowed it down during the intermission and showed Z trying, like me trying to get to my kid when he doesn't want to listen to me, right?
Sure.
He just keeps turning away the other way. And Z is saying, you want somebody, and I'm not a lip reader, but it's basically, hey,
it's you want somebody.
I'm over here. Right. You come to me. You know, hey. And Kane wouldn't turn and listen and look at him. Now, I'm sure he heard him, but he wouldn't look at him I wouldn't look at him either,
you
the fear of God.
Right, man.
And Z was letting it known right then.
Yep.
Because you mess with anybody, you're coming to me on this team.
Yep.
That's it. Anybody, it's me. Now, Kevin Miller's out of the lineup. Let's not forget the Kane and Miller have had a little bit of history, et cetera. I'm sure Kevin Miller was absolutely salivating.
Licking his chops.
Wishing desperately that he was out there for that one.
Was that elbow that started the actual fight, was that dirty? Is that something he'll get suspended for?
Okay. I don't think so. But I know they're looking at it. I checked in with the league, and they said reviewable, meaning they're looking at it.
Okay.
They look at it. They clip. They've got a room of 18 TVs or whatever. They got 20 guys, depending on how many games are going on. And then every time there's literally one guy per game, and they're marking everything. And then if it's even more so, they'll call one of the supervisors from the back, and they'll say, hey, what do you think here? And they'll get the confirmation, yes, get it, you know, and so they do that.
How much is him being dirty, and how much is Zdeno Chara being tall?
I don't think it was dirty. I think he meant to hit him. There's no question he meant him, because that's part of the game, and also you know who it is, because Kane came in on him on the forecheck and tried to get after him, so then Z said, okay, you're coming back at me, here we go. Part of it's him being 6'9". I thought to my naked eye, so to speak, of it the first time, that Kane actually changed the plane of his height by coming down a little bit. Not intentionally. It's just the nature of the game. Super slow-mo makes everything look easy.
Of course, right.
But here he is in the nature of the game. He comes down. He's a lefty, so he drops his shoulders. He sticks down on the ice. And then simultaneously, Char is coming back into him to hit him. The 6'9", or basically 6'11", on skates of Chara. The impact then, there was contact made with the head. The question's going to be, does the league deem it A, principal point of contact, and B, avoidable or unavoidable? That's going to be the question. I think
kind of sounds like it gets suspended then.
I think it was unavoidable because of the size and because the plane of Kane came down.
But how can you say that when you said he intentionally meant to hit him?
He had his head turned and lined him up.
Hitting a guy is different than picking the head. Meaning, I thought he got him with the back of his shoulder. When he comes in to line him up, Kane comes down. I say that there was an intent to hit, absolutely he meant to body check him.
I'm sure.
And to hit him hard.
Yeah.
And to say, hey,
whether he meant to hit him in the head, I see what
there
you're saying.
Whether there was that, and it was it avoidable or unavoidable? And I thought, and I said this on the air, I thought the trajectory or the plane of Kane's body came down just enough that it also made that kind of contact unavoidable.
As a hockey player, after that's done, for someone to pick a fight by jumping on your back and knocking you to the ground, I have to think that that is probably on the least respected Bush League type of moves.
Well, it's against a guy who's 6'9 and could kill you. I think that might be
You saw what happened.
It's a good point.
Dude, it was so great because he jumped on top of Chara. And for a minute,
right?
there's like a split second where Vander Kane's like, I am king of the mountain.
Yes.
And he just starts like pummeling like Zdeno Chara. And then it's like, I must break you.
Yes.
He just rises from the dead. And it's just like doom. And he's getting his head pounded after that.
Yeah, here's the thing. He was pissed off, Kane, because he felt in that moment. You know that. There's moments that happen in game, in life in general, but in games, where you absolutely lose it, Ted. Mm-hmm. You lose it. That focus of...
Ted doesn't know anything about that.
Right. You just... that moment. I mean, somebody bite your leg or whatever, finger, and you're like, what the fuck? and now it's... You lose it.
Sure.
And Kane got hit, and you could see him. As soon as he got hit, he's jumping up. He's shaking the head, and he's like, what the... And gone. And now... By the way, and I say this, I always say this with Chara, and it's obvious, but it's always worth saying, Kane's a big man.
Yeah.
And he looks like a child.
He really does. How tall is he? Is he
6'2"?
He's 6'2". Yes. Yeah, and he's built. I mean, the reason his name is Vander is his dad was a boxer.
Yeah, he's 6'2", 220, I believe it is.
Yeah, and he's a good fighter.
Yes.
Yeah, we saw him beat the hell out of Matt Cook after the Savard hit. I mean, he kind of became a little bit of a local hero after that.
Right.
He was the first guy to get any kind of licks on Matt Cook. What was that, maybe 2 weeks after he nailed Savard?
Yeah, Matt Cook, by the way, Matt Cook, obviously, and Bruins fans remember this, more of a cheap shot artist, understatement, versus a good fighter.
Without a doubt. I'm not comparing the two.
But I'm saying Evander Kane is a legit, he can scrap. Watch him with others.
Good technique.
Chara has good technique, too. I mean, when he gets jackhammer coming down on him, he's got the reach, and he also has that, I guess it's inertia, just coming down at you, the force of that right, thunderbolt.
Go see my man Tommy McInerney over at Fitbox. He's the one who trains all those guys. Yeah. He'll show you how to
do it. I want to go to him this summer.
He's awesome.
I want to go to him with my kids, actually.
And he's great with kids.
And that's what I want to do.
He's been teaching my kids how to box, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, I want to do that with him. Yeah. I do. So I saw him. I bumped into him a while ago, and I want to do that.
Yeah, he's around the team a lot. He became friends with Sean Thornton, and that's kind of how the relationship bloomed. And now he's the dude that the Bruins go because Sean was like, listen, if we're going to get in fights on the ice, we might as well learn how to do it the right way, and let's get a guy who's a boxer.
Well, that's
where
Kevin Miller, who trained in MMA stuff, has had an advantage, it's helped him, and he won't use the flying technique. Actually, one hockey player did a couple of years. Kevin Bieksa used it, and he knocked a few guys out because he did. I don't know the name of it. He came up and popped him right in the chin.
Ooh.
But Kevin Miller's trained in that.
Yeah. And he's an MMA guy, right?
He loves it. Yeah. He's also, if he was in a hockey player, he'd be probably a SEAL or an Army Ranger.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Oh, he would.
He's the last guy on the team you want to pick a fight with, right?
It was him, well, Chara always, him and Adam McQuaid. Adam McQuaid, the kindest, most gentle, most the sweetest guy in the world.
Oh, softest, he's insane.
And then all of a sudden, the switch would flip, and you're like, oh, this is fun.
Yeah. he's the only guy I know that would, straight up smile every time he would get in a fight. He was enjoying it.
Yeah. Crazy guys, man.
And he's the nicest guy in the world. So is Kevin Miller, and Z is soft-spoken almost. Adam McQuaid, it is, and Adam just knew his job. If there was if there's an alley, a dark alley, and you're walking down, oh, man, Z, of course, but Adam McQuaid would be the guy you'd be sitting with having a beer. everything's good, and then all of a sudden somebody... He wouldn't look for it, but if somebody pissed him off, meaning they did something, oh, God. Oh, God.
Well,
ask Matt Martin of the New York Islanders, who's a big man. He got his face busted up by him.
Well, Zdeno Chara is like double scary because not only do you know that he can kill you, but he's also like, if you stand next to him, he doesn't look like a human being. He looks like somebody who, like, you know, the taffy puller kind of had a little extra time with.
Yeah, he's not wide. He's just big.
So tall.
Yeah. And it's ripped. Like, he's ripped, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, without a doubt.
Here's the thing, and I say this. I wonder if he holds back a little bit in fights. In the sense, he's involved, you know, and he's going
to not injure himself.
No, they need him on the ice. Not hurt other people.
The other people, yeah.
Oh.
I mean, I think last night he was.
It's true, Rich.
Really?
I'm not going to lie. I've gotten into a fight where I've actually thought the same thing.
Now,
in college.
Because you were an athlete.
I hit him with an open hand. I thought I might kill him if I closed my fist.
Well, here's a good question. I know with boxers, if they get in a fight, they can actually go to like jail because it's assault with a deadly weapon. Because their hands are registered like deadly weapons if you're a boxer. Is that the same for an athlete, like someone in the NFL, or?
I don't think so. It's just, but you just know what you're capable of doing. And the guy I went up against.
And you slapped him?
I was slapping him. Yeah, and I slapped him to the ground. Yeah. I'm just agreeing with Billy when he says that it sounds crazy on its face, on the surface, but it's not. But that's how guys think, though. Like, if you are that much more physically bigger and you know what you are capable of and the damage you could do, I could see him throttling
if
back.
Chara got, I mean, he's so strong.
Yeah. Yeah.
And his endurance factor, too. I mean, like, he can go for, like, you know, 40 minutes. His VO2 and his physical strength and the 40 pull-ups he can do. It's a freak. He's so, yeah.
Sure.
If he got an uppercut on somebody, I mean, can you imagine
good
that?
Night, or coming,
sure. Or, I mean, maybe it's too hard from that height. I don't know. The way he comes down. I'm just saying, I think he's controlled. He's smart. But last night, I love watching him like that.
Yeah, it was great. It was great.
I love watching him because it was Big Daddy-esque. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You mess with anybody,
I got you. All right, so we're going to let's talk more about the Bruins because they're a team right now that deserves to be talked about. 14 straight games, points, Jake DeBrusk going nuts. They're playing with cohesion. They still don't even have their best scorer right now on the ice. So, I mean, lots to look forward to with the Bruins. On top of that, I want to find out who would a slap fight between Ted Johnson and Billy Jaffe. No, we'll get to that so much more after this.
Toucher and Rich are back on TV.
I really didn't know that.
Twitch.tv. Follow the Sports Hub. Watch and react with 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Bergeron twists. He'll snap it to Marchand, who gloves it one-on-one. Cuts to the middle, walks out in front, back, and he scores! Brad Marchand with the steal! Undressed Erik Karlsson and slides it 5-hole on Mark Jones. Bruins with a 4-1 lead.
.985 of Sports Hub, it's Toucher and Rich. We got Ted Johnson, Billy Jaffe here in studio, and someone just sent me that Kevin Bieksa Superman punch.
That's what it's called, right?
Oh, my God. It goes straight to the chin of who's that he's...
Radko Gudas. That guy is a badass shoe that he knocked out.
Just steps into it and right on the chin
see,
and
a little,
drops
there's a
the
little
guy.
Giddy up right before, and that's the technique part that I don't know MMA stuff.
What do you mean?
There's a little giddy up. Watch right there. Oh, yeah. He leads into it.
Jumps up to kind of push down.
Right. Oh. So it's an MMA technique, and I've talked to Ken Miller about it before. I believe Bieksa used it twice in the NHL.
Oh, my God. All right, real quick, let's go to Mike on line 3. Mike, what's up, man? You're on Toucher and Rich.
Just calling in real quick about if you're an MMA guy or a boxer, you're not considered a lethal weapon. That's an old wives' tale.
Okay.
And as far as the Superman punch goes, that's what he's doing. Mm-hmm. And that stutter step in the beginning is a feint, like he's throwing a jab. So the guy flinches, and then he comes right with the straight right hand down the pipe, and that
works.
Yeah, right. It does kind of look like it's almost like a down angle. Yeah. Like it's not a direct punch to the chin. It's you're coming down, and that's why I guess why it's the Superman punch, because it looks almost like he's flying or whatever. But, I mean, that is that's impressive. Now, we were talking off the air about, you know, you got – okay, so, Ted, you playing – being a professional athlete, a lot of people knew your name, and obviously, you know, you're somebody that everyone recognizes. Ted, when you were playing, did you find people in bars or places out and about, off the field, trying to act tough and maybe trying to fight you just so they can make a name for themselves.
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of that, you know, but I'm a kind of guy that goes into an establishment and I make friends with everybody, you know, usually more times than not. I think most people, you know what is, it's funny. It always ticked me off that someone would challenge me because I'm usually bigger than those guys. I don't know why. Just, you want to challenge me? Really? I mean, you see the size differential, but it didn't.
I could
honestly
eat you.
I just like, you're just being stupid. No, so it didn't happen a lot. At times, yes, but, you know, there's people that want
to. What did you do when they did? What did you do when they did? When they came up to you and they said, you know, like they wanted to kick your ass? Because there's always a guy that wants to be known as the one, hey, I went and I kicked Ted Johnson's ass, or I punched him or whatever. What did you do when someone would say that?
The greatest story I ever have on that is there was a quarterback for the Texas A&M named Bucky Richardson, and I want to make this really quick, okay? Bucky Richardson went to play for the Houston Oilers out of college from Texas A&M. Bucky Richardson, I was at a sports bar in Houston after my first year here in New England. I was at a bar. Bucky Richardson was at a bar. He was at the Houston Oilers. I was with the New England Patriots. I was with a friend. We were at the bar the whole night. The bar shuts down. Bucky Richardson, who was with a lot of people, beautiful ladies and some of his friends, were waiting for me when I went out to the parking lot.
What?
Bucky Richardson was waiting for me when I went out to the parking lot. Starts yelling at me, calling me names. I don't know if I didn't, because as I didn't pay, kiss homage, his ring. I didn't pay homage to him. I didn't go over and kiss his ring earlier in the evening. So after the bar had closed, we were friends with the bartender. We got to stay a little bit longer. We go out thinking that nobody's going to be in the parking lot. Here he's waiting for me. People just kind of made it, you know, not happen. You know, there was a lot of back and forth, blah, blah, blah. Guess what happened?
What?
Bucky Rich in the next training camp. New England Patriots picked him up for training camp. Midway through training camp, Bucky Richardson comes to play for the New England Patriots. He was a quarterback in college. He's playing. Parcells had him play fullback. Okay, so I got Bucky Richardson back. All right, and I hit him as hard as I could hit a guy in practice, and I made it personal, and I put him to the ground, and he couldn't. He couldn't remember what he didn't understand what was going on.
You walked him into next Tuesday.
So basically, alcohol was involved.
Alcohol was involved.
Right, meaning to the point.
But I got his ass back, is my point.
Right. Just split his helmet?
He took a number, so to speak.
I took his license plate number.
But that just goes, that's what goes, I mean, you get. I never understood the whole bar thing, and I get it because alcohol plays a factor in it.
It was alcohol,
but all of a sudden, I'm going to be a tough guy, and I'm going to fight. You take a really fun night. And you screw it up.
Well, because you can't win. Because if you're the athlete or the celebrity or something, you can't win because what's going to happen is this guy swings at you. You can't swing back because if you do, you're getting sued. You're in the papers. You have everything to lose if that happens.
And I have nothing to prove.
And this guy, and you could be Mr. Peacemaker, and this guy could be the biggest dick in the world and just be like, I'm going to kill you, blah, 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 saying horrible things about your family or whatever like that. And you'll still be the one that ends up looking bad at all.
The article doesn't say man gets in. It becomes who you are gets into a fight with somebody at the bar. Yep. So the headache of having to get out of it, even if you're in the right, it just takes forever.
Do you ever, Zoe, just thumbs up, thumbs down. Anyone try to pick a fight with you when you're out and about?
Oh, yeah.
All the time?
Yeah. Almost happened at the Patriots postgame party.
At the Patriots postgame, like this year?
Yeah, guys started pushing me. Yeah.
Started pushing you at the Patriots postgame party?
Thomas had to get in the middle of it.
You don't mess with Mike Thomas.
Our boss? Really?
I don't want to mess with Mike Thomas.
A Patriots fan?
Hang on, there were five stadiums. Okay, real quick.
Come
I'm sorry.
Come over to a microphone, say this guy. Say this at a microphone.
Okay.
A Patriots fan.
Okay. You'll love this. So, Lawyer Malloy was there. I was hanging out with Lawyer out in the crowd, just in the general crowd. And one of these drunk a-holes comes up to Lawyer, and he's like getting in Lawyer's face. And if you know Lawyer really doesn't like the loud shouting in his face. So I put my hand on the man's chest, and I just kind of backed him out of Lawyer's face. And I'm like, I'm just trying to take care of you here. Back off a little bit, because I know this guy, and it's not going to end well for you. He comes back about an hour later, double pushes me in the chest. You pushed me earlier. And I'm like, I didn't touch you. I said I saved your ass about an hour earlier from you getting your ass beat. I said, now you're actually going to get your ass beat. What are you going to do? And he pushes me. That starts. And then Mike Thomas is there, and that's all we need. And then the little guy sees red. And now it's on. You know? So then I start shouting at him, and he's shouting at me. And, you know, poor Mary's there and everything. And I said, I have your ass out of here in a matter of 5 seconds. I said, you paid to come here. You paid a lot of money.
It is the Patriots.
I said, now you're going to leave. I said, now you just got to leave.
So just think about that. This is a guy that likes you up by proxy because he's a Patriots fan. He likes you. He likes Lawyer Malloy. Can you imagine if it's somebody like in a bar who randomly is a fan of a different team and hates you that way? So if it can happen to someone like you, it's happened to these guys all
over. Fight nobody.
It's like Zolak. It's like, yeah, you're the butt man.
We love the party. We'll go out. We'll have a good time.
Seriously.
Alcohol brings everybody. It makes everybody equal.
Yeah.
It doesn't, but they think that it makes you equal.
Oh, sure, sure.
It's true. It does. And you have nothing. And people know that if you were to fight back or they were to seriously get hurt, that it's on you, that you have the leverage.
They also have the bar tail, though. They have the tale that they can say.
Right.
Yep. So the time you laid back when you were in college, and you know everyone's been in like, you know, some kind of thing in college, you said that you knew you would have killed the guy if you would have done it with...
It was a frat guy. I was in a frat house, and it was me and my buddy. We brought a bunch of girls from our dorm. They didn't like that we were there. Guy gets in my face and starts just screaming at me. So I just slap him in the face, and then I kept slapping him, and he goes down, and I'm slapping him, and here comes a guy over the bar, hits me in the face, and it's kind of like you mentioned it, Billy. Like, there's a point, like, where it's kind of like a shark when the eyes go in the back of the head. That's, like, what happens.
You lose it.
But I thought I might kill the guy. If I close my fist, I actually might do really serious harm to this guy, so I just kept slapping him.
So you grabbed him and just like see, to me, that's almost more humiliating than getting punched.
Well, I think that was a good byproduct. I think that was just, okay, like, I'm doing this, dude, and isn't this awesome?
You got your ass kicked last night. Oh, really? Did he get me good? Dude, he was slapping you like slapping you like your mom does when she's like, you've been out too late. Oh, what you do? Oh, my God, that's the best. That is the best. That's the way you humiliate someone. If you can kick their ass just by with an open hand, then you are you can.
And we took their sorority girls too.
That was the ultimate guy.
It's great ending to that story because that's what happened. Right?
If you've ever seen anyone pick a fight with a celebrity, 617-779-0985 because it happens all the time. It does. It absolutely does. So that's how the Bruins are doing.
Good to see you, Billy.
Real quick before we let you go. I mean, obviously, the team is playing great. What do you make of?
How about the goaltending lately? Tuukka Rask.
Halak's been awesome.
Halak has refound his game. He always had it, but his glove has been spectacular the last couple of games. You're getting the depth scoring. The two guys that they brought in, I know I couldn't come on yesterday. I was flying back from the NHL Network and tried to get in everything. Just couldn't make it work. But they weren't what we would call the sexiest, you know, big profile
move.
Right. But you know what? And I've said this on the air, both here, NHL Network, they were very good, solid acquisitions. It makes them better right now. I'm sure you've heard all this. It makes them better. And I think it makes them better going forward with regard to, you have Coyle under contract for next year, too. We'll see about Marcus Johansson. People don't realize how fast Johansson is and also how he's played with high-level players before. He's playing with a team that has been, especially in the last year, you know, Jersey, I know, made the playoffs and whatever, but they shouldn't have. This year, the reality setting in. He's been great lately with the kids there. He's been great. So this is going to be a tonic for him coming to play with the Bees. I like these moves. Does it put them over the top? I'm not sure. We'll have to wait and see. But they're a good team. Let's see if they can become a very good team now the last 20 games.
Does tomorrow really matter? I mean,
it always matters, because if we say that, using the Celtics as an example, the games, well, you know, they played Chicago and they got, you know, the game to Toronto, but let's wait till the play. No, they all matter. They all matter just because they become measuring sticks. You see where you are at and also where your deficiencies are, perhaps against the team that you're going to play in the playoffs. And Tampa is a type of team, by the way, they're playing tonight in New York City, but so they say, well, it doesn't matter. BS. Bruins are great in second half of games, a road game, and so are Tampa. You play this game, it matters. It does. It does.
All right, I'll end it with this. Somebody just tweeted us and said, Ted Johnson hugged me at the Purple Shamrock at the end of the night, and I think I broke a rib. I can only imagine what it would be like to mess with him. Him and his teammates were awesome. And then he put, sup, Scott Zolak.
You can have so much, such a good time with people like Ted and Zoe, and, you know, just have fun. Buy some beer.
Damn right. We're easygoing guys, man. We want to be your friends.
Absolutely. All right, look at this. Our listeners are the best. We're getting calls.
By the way, last night at the game, it happens all the time. And, you know, hey, Billy, how you doing? I love you. I'm Toucher and Rich. You know, I love you. You know, I mean,
they're all just trying to get the Jake DeBrusk bump, right?
Toucher and Rich as well. Don't tell me if I don't do this. And thank you, guys.
TNR bump is real. All right. Well, good luck. And tomorrow night, big game. Anesson, correct?
It is not. Tomorrow's NBC Sports Network. We're back on Saturday, Bruins home.
Perfect. Excellent. All right. We'll be back with the stack and your calls.
There's someone
very special I want you guys to meet.
Toucher and Rich.
I just want to tell you both good luck.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
.985 Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. I knew we were going to get calls on this. We have Ted Johnson in studio, and Billy Jaffe was just in here. And you know, I've always been fascinated with why somebody would threaten to try to beat up an athlete or someone like that in a bar. And I know what they're thinking. They're like, I'm going to be the guy that's going to tell my friends, dude, I took down Ted Johnson.
Billy's right. It's a story.
It's a story. However, what you don't realize is that if Ted Johnson wanted to, he can murder you. He could, I mean, he could kill, just kill you with a punch. He said he did it with a guy. You had to slap him. It's because you knew you could hurt the dude.
There's a video of me slapping the guy on my Twitter feed right now.
Somebody like put one out there?
It's pretty funny.
Well, that's something I might need to see.
Check it out later.
So it's like, have you ever seen anybody like try to pick a fight with a celebrity? And I didn't expect any calls. And of course, here's, we've got a bunch of calls. Let's go to Travis on line 5. Travis, what's up, man? You're on Toucher and Rich with Teddy J.
Guys, what's going on?
What's up?
So this is a while back. Brady had just won his first Super Bowl. But before that, a buddy of mine, he used to drive me to school. And we would drive, and we'd stop at the gas station, stop to get gas. But he had worked at the country store. And Brady used to go in every week before an away game and buy a Playboy and a Snickers. Well, he wins his first Super Bowl. And the Playboy and the Snickers stop. So my buddy, for some unknown reason to us, is all butthurt. So Brady's gassing up his that black Escalade that he won at the gas station. This is at like 7:15 in the morning, okay? And my buddy, who's a psycho, starts screaming, "You're a sellout! You're an effing sellout! You're a sellout!" And Brady's just looking at him. Now, you got to remember, he's 16. So he's like, what is this kid looking at me for? Our buddy gets out and walks over to him and walks up to him. And as Brady stands up like to let go of the gas pump, he then realizes that Tom Brady is a quarterback, but he's also 6'4", and he's a large human being, mm-hmm. and runs back into the car and runs away. And Brady just stands there with his hands up like, what the heck just happened?
Okay, so first of all, we would say all this is allegedly. Second of all, the fact that if this indeed happened and he just got every day a Playboy and a Snickers, that's one of the greatest things ever. Just knowing what he is now.
After he wins the Super Bowl, he changed. He went from a yellow Jeep Wrangler and buying Playboys and Snickers to driving an Escalade.
And getting Hustler.
And getting Hustler.
Hustler and some Starburst. Get a little classier. That's fantastic. And by the way, I would like to know from Scott Zolak how much of that story he actually believes. Because, I mean, the one thing that is well documented is that Tom Brady ate pretty crappy food when he was coming up, because remember, there's that story about the first time that he told Robert Kraft you'll would never regret my signing, or what was the thing that he said? I mean, what was his famous quote? I'm the best decision that you've ever made.
That's it.
Apparently, wasn't he like holding a pizza at the time and walking across
the
parking lot?
On his way out. That's right, to the parking lot.
Miles away from the TB12
nobody
diet.
Knew the advantages of nutrition then, like we do now, though. Just to be fair, like nobody. I mean,
I think you knew shoving a pizza in your face.
If you're the owner and your 6th-round pick is holding a whole pizza on his way out to the car, that's still a statement. Yeah,
well, it's what gave him that wonderful body at the combine that we were talking about. That famous photo.
That's soup sandwich.
Yep. Let's go to one last more. Line 4. Jerry, what's going on, man? You're on Toucher and Rich.
Hey guys. Hey, how are you?
Hey.
So I got a story for you. It was I was overserved substantially one night when I was about 19 after a Sox game, and we're at Daisy Buchanan's. Oops. And this large gentleman bumped into me, knocked my beer down, and I was apparently so, you know, inebriated, I didn't realize who it was, and tried to, you know, confront the gentleman by, you know, kind of pushing him a little bit into his chest. And two of my buddies grabbed me and pulled me away, and they're like, "You idiot, what are you doing?" I'm like, "What are you talking about? This guy, you know," he goes, "That's C.C. Sabathia." C.C. Buchanan's after a Sox game. This is back when he was on the Indians.
Okay, so
that's a big dude.
Here's what I would imagine the CeCe Sabathia fight be. Did you ever see that Steven Seagal movie, Out for Justice?
Yes.
It's the one, you know, where he takes the pool ball and puts the thing. Yeah. The final scene of Out for Justice was hysterical because Steven Seagal is this karate badass. And the main bad guy, when he finally finds him, is just this fat guy.
Yeah. He's fat, and overweight.
And the fight scene isn't a fight scene at all. It's a mauling. They just let Steven Seagal beat the hell out of a fat guy for like 5 minutes, and the fat guy couldn't fight back. I imagine that's what it would be like if you picked a fight with CeCe Sabathia. It would just be him going, whoa, stop it, man. And then just, you know, I just need to get me out of here. I just can see him putting up no fight whatsoever. All right, one more of these. I promise we'll stop.
You can't get enough.
I can't get enough. If they're half as good as Tom Brady stopping at a gas station every Saturday morning and getting a Playboy and Snickers, then I don't know if you're going to be able to top that. Let's go to Dave on line one. You're on Toucher and Rich with Ted Johnson.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's up, man?
Mine isn't so much of getting in a fight as the intimidation. I'm a big guy. I'm 6'4", 275, played college ball, and I just graduated. I'm probably best shape of my life. And I'm downtown Boston, and I'm going to work, and coming up the escalator is Brutus the Barber Beefcake, the wrestler. I don't know how big he was, but I'm 6'4". He had to be at least 6 or 7 inches taller than me, maybe 370 pounds ripped up. He walks up to me as he's going by me, taps me on the head and said, how you doing, little fella? No. I'm not intimidated by most people, and I've never backed down from a fight. I would run from hell from that guy. He was huge.
Yeah, Brutus the Barber Beefcake was, like, legit. It's funny because nowadays, it's weird. These wrestlers will come in, and we'll have them when they're promoting the thing at the TD Garden, you know, like Raw or whatever they're promoting. And nowadays, some of these guys will come in, and I'm like, you don't look like a wrestler. Like, when Daniel Bryan came in, he just looked like a dude. You know, like, all right, man.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then you see him wrestle, it's like, oh, whatever. But those ones back in the day, like, you go, like, 80s, especially the 90s.
The steroid era.
Like, right. When you had Big Papa Pump.
Yeah.
Buff Bagwell at the time was pretty jacked. Yep. Big Papa Pump might be the biggest, like, his arms I've seen. He had muscles on top of muscles. It was like in the Popeye cartoon when they would flex and go bloop, 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 and it was just like a mountain of that was him. So you want to talk about guys that were big back in the day, that's them. Nowadays, it's kind of strange. The Rock is obviously a big guy, but I mean, who else do we have in here? Like Sheamus? Like, Sheamus kind of just looks like a guy, but then he gets in the ring and he looks like a badass, and things have kind of changed. Even football players are kind of that way. You know what I mean?
Well, like, because it's a faster game.
Yeah.
You don't see linebackers my size. You don't see linebackers the size of Willie McGinnis. It's a faster game. You know who I met in person who's a huge, huge human being? It's Kevin Nash, wrestler Kevin Nash.
Yep. Nash is a big dude.
Big.
Yeah.
I mean, he's every bit as 6'4 as I am, if not maybe a little bit taller.
Have you met the Big Show? Have you seen the Big Show?
I haven't met the Big Show.
Oh, my
God. He came in studio. That dude told the best story about having to take a dump on an airplane that I've ever heard in my life. Can you imagine?
Those guys are the best.
Oh,
those guys are the best.
No, but they're humble, too. They're not aggressive.
All of them.
Great salt of the earth people.
Just good people, man.
I'm told to take line two. John, what's up, man? You're on Toucher and Rich with Ted Johnson.
Hey, so about 2 years ago, I was in high school and we played Bishop Feehan, and Poirier's kids were there, and Brewski's kids were playing now. And we played them. We ended up beating them by a pretty big number, and we were going through the line, and Brewski was a coach at that point, and he was going through the line. But he didn't walk through. He just, like, skipped the line, and we walked over to Brewski. It was, like, a couple of us, and we were like, hey, like, Bishop, and he completely gave us the biggest dirty look and just snubbed us.
Didn't shake your hands?
Didn't shake my hands. Do it in the fullest sportsmanship. But it's bad because he's Brewski, and all of us wanted to meet him because he's a New England icon. So we're going through, and my captain looks at him. He's like, are you serious? And, like, tries to go walk up to Brewski to, like, fight him. Like, he's like, seriously? Like, my captain was, like, probably a little bit over the size.
And?
But it's like...
And I guess that was the end of that story. Thank you, Pert. I appreciate that. Very thank good. You. He's like, you got to take mine, too. And end it with, like, a, hey, all right, hands in the air. That's an excellent ending to the story. Thank you, Pert. Producer Bert on the case. All right. So,
good heads
way to end that great break of the thought. It's the worst story ever. That's worst awesome. Story ever. Might be the worst story ever told on the Toucher and Rich show.
We never got to the finish, the punchline, though. So,
well, I think that might have been
a killer.
I think it was like, and then I was like, dude, you didn't shake my hand? Can you imagine him telling that at a bar and everyone just going like,
All right, okay, sorry.
I'm going to get some popcorn. All right, 617-779-0985. We'll find out what Zolak and Bertrand have coming up.
Watch, react in real time. Toucher and Rich are on twitch.tv. Just follow the Sports Hub.
All right, 98.5 the Sports Hub. Real quick, there's one little bit of news breaking, and then something really weird that's going on right now, and it looks like it's going to fall right into Zolak and Bertrand's laps. First of all, quick Bruins news.
All right, quick Bruins news is, Dino Chara, we were talking about it during the show, that Chara may or may not face discipline for his high hit on Evander Kane, which prompted the fight we were all talking about. And it turns out, according to TSN in Canada and now a couple other places, Chara is not going to be suspended. He's not going to have a hearing for the hit at all. They ruled the hit legal. So that's good news for the Bruins. The other thing is happening in Fort Myers. Usually the baseball reporters down there meet with Alex Cora at 9:15 or 9:30 every morning of spring training. The Red Sox canceled that media availability, not only with Cora, but for the rest of the team about 10 minutes before it was supposed to happen. There was a big team meeting, and the players left the team meeting about 15 minutes ago. And according to those on location, they described the players' feelings as somber. Now, not angry, but upset. Cora's going to meet the media in about 5 minutes, but something very strange is happening down there. We won't know what it is until Cora talks about it in a couple of minutes.
Okay,
so not sure what's going on, but it's something fairly big, apparently.
Since then, at 9:33, David Price tweeted, "Through triumph, tragedy, and heartbreak, this team/organization sticks together. At Red Sox, hashtag extended family." Now, I immediately started speculating, do you think that Dustin Pedroia is retiring?
No. Seems like somebody passed.
Well, it says...
Or got bad news health-wise.
Team organization sticks together.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Or there's a player who might have blown out their arm.
Something. But apparently it's fairly big news. We haven't even gotten any hints as to what it might be. All we know is that the players were visibly upset leaving a big team meeting about 10 or 15 minutes ago. Alex Cora is expected to address the media at 10 a.m., presumably to discuss whatever it is that's going on.
It could take Wallach, so nothing good happened then.
It seems that way.
It doesn't. Yes. First of all, if somebody passed, this news would be out. I mean, it's
depends.
You don't keep it secret within the Red Sox, and then it goes. I mean, listen, someone dies. That's a family thing. I don't think that they would leave it to Alex Cora to announce to the world that somebody passed. Usually, it's the family that does that.
Yeah.
However, in this case, I bet it's an injury. I bet it's a season-ending injury for a major player.
But David Price used the word tragic in his.
Yeah, because
would you use that word tragic to describe an injury?
I would say if Chris Sale came in, once again, I'm speculating. If Chris Sale came in and said he's out for the season because he has to get surgery, I would say that he would write a tweet like that.
Heartbreak and tragedy, huh?
Yeah.
Right,
well, I'm going to stick together.
I think. Okay, so a player has had a family emergency. They're not going to release the details unless Cora elaborates more at 10 o'clock.
Oh, but, that's awful.
Our show starts at 10, and news breaks during our show.
All right, okay. Well, that's...
Well, it does, Ted.
Long-breaking news!
How many times have we come in, and you guys know it, and the story, some
true.
Story...
10:04 is the prime
so
minute for breaking news. It happens almost every time we go through. But if it's something like this is obviously...
God.
Oh, yeah. Michael Servant says Red Sox dealing with a family emergency of a Red Sox player. Details will not be divulged to Leo. That's awful. Okay, so, well, there you go.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.